T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Atlas 42. I'm John Reed, the host of the Early Morning News here on News Radio WRVA. And my claim to fame, it's weird. When you get close to 50 and you're still talking about the first job you had when you were 21, I feel like that's not the best thing. I don't know what to do about that. I was Ronald Reagan's last intern, certainly one of his last interns after the White House, and gave me a front row seat to a lot of stuff, which has really been super for my entire career, and then was communications director for U.S. Senator George Allen. So I show up at the radio station every day with that kind of political background, and then as a reporter. And I'm joined by my colleague, Jeff Katz, who's lived all over the country. And
I have. The funny thing is, I guess I'm on the other end of that, where I'm worried, oh my God, 50, what's my next job? That's a lot more concerning than what your first job was. And I'll tell you what, if I were the last intern, I don't care. If I ever had the chance to spend more than 5 minutes in a situation with President Reagan working for him, we have a standee of the president here. I would walk around with that handcuffed to my right hand all day long. I would work it into every conversation.
It's been some good cocktail conversation. Yes. And I think it probably got my first job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, after that, the first paying job.
Absolutely.
Because people were like, oh, tell me about
Reagan. Well, you know, John, when President Reagan and I were in the office,
debating
the merits of black jelly beans, here's what he had to say.
It helps. You know somebody else who has a pretty remarkable CV, although it's on the other side of the political spectrum, is our good friend Howard Gutman, who was President Obama's ambassador to Belgium and has not stopped traveling. Where are you today, Howard?
I'm efforting to try and get a hold of Howard.
Oh, Howard's not even here yet?
He's not even picking up the phone.
Oh, well, we could beat the heck out of him.
Absolutely. So,
I've been waiting for this opportunity. Right.
Here we are, as that famous author, that famous playwright said, we are waiting for Gutman.
Right.
Yes. And
that's like a 3-hour play I can't put up. Tried to sit through it once.
Oh, my goodness. Well, where do you want to start then? I mean, the heck with Howard.
Would you hear this interview that I did on the morning show this morning with Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
The guy who's come from Iowa,
yes,
weirdly enough,
right,
to open the Bernie Sanders headquarters here in Richmond. And Jeff, I'm telling you, 20 years ago, a socialist who's not even a Democrat.
Right.
That just would not have happened. They wouldn't have wasted their time in Virginia. What does this mean? Bernie Sanders has some sort of magical personal appeal, or Virginia has changed enough, or these young people are stupid enough to sign up for that? Not to be rude. I hate to be rude, but it's true.
Well, listen, if that's the question, I think I'm going to have to select the all of the above category. I really am. I think that Bernie Sanders, for all of his faults, and in fact, they're all faults. I can't think of any real credit, but for all of them, he at least is honest about what he is. He has told you he is a socialist. And like all good socialists, he's a hypocrite. He made himself a millionaire. And you'll notice 4 years ago, he was attacking millionaires and billionaires. Pay attention to his speeches now. Millionaires are conspicuous by their absence because he's now joined their ranks.
For a guy who's never had a real job other than a government job, it really is hypocritical.
Oh, absolutely.
For him to cash in with, I mean, I don't care what it is, whether it's a book deal or whatever. I mean, this has been his mantra his entire public career, is beating up on the wealthy.
That's right.
And now he's capitalized on that.
Yeah. And you take a look, as you alluded to, changing demographics in Virginia, primarily Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia now just, and you probably know better than just about anybody who's here, John, but I mean, it's there's suburbs of D.C. It's the same sort of mindset as D.C. And then you do have so many in this new generation, whether they're at VCU or other colleges, who really do believe they are entitled to a whole bunch of stuff. And this is what Bernie Sanders is peddling. Everything is free. College should be free. Lunch is going to be free. Weed is going to be free. Sex is going to be free. Puppies, unicorns, rainbows, whatever you want. Yeah. He's got it all for you. And they came through a time, I think they came of age with Barack Obama as president, where Barack Obama was telling us, hey, get used to it. This is the new normal. The economy stinks. Nobody's going to have a real job, and you just deal with it. And by the way, you know whose fault it is? Millionaires and billionaires, those business people. And I think Bernie Sanders, his ego out of control, has tapped into it.
Why is it that people in their late teens and early 20s now really do look at, I mean, there's always been jealousy.
Yeah.
Like when I was growing up, I was like, oh, I mean, how does this guy have this money and our family doesn't have this money and we should have this money and
right.
I'm going to be a millionaire, which hadn't happened yet. But there's a palpable hostility towards people who have achieved. And look, some of it's luck.
Sure.
Some of it's family connections. You can't deny that. That's true. But do you think you're going to replace that system with equality based on what? I mean, Bernie Sanders is the perfect example. You're right. Not going to be equal with Bernie Sanders
That's
if he
right.
gets his way.
Yeah.
His money, he's keeping his money and
Absolutely.
His house.
Yep.
So what are you trading out for this panacea?
It's a great question. I think if you are in that age group, if you are, I don't know, you're 16 to 26, right? You come of age under the Obama years.
And you're watching your own kids.
Oh,
my you've got-
gosh, am I watching my own kids? Yeah, where they heard about bad situations. They saw family members during the Obama years who lost their jobs and, you know, aged out basically of unemployment. Right. It taken it for a year and then you couldn't get a job. And then there was an extent and there was still nothing out there. And then you see this guy, Donald Trump, come along and you can believe he's a vulgarian. I think there are a lot of people that are appalled by his tweets and some of his comments. But the reality is he is passionate about this country. He's passionate about individual opportunity for achievement. And I think the children of folks your age and my age are looking at this going, okay, now how does this all balance out? We heard from this other president that we like because he was the cool president, right? He was
young.
He was smoking cigarettes in back of the White House. And, you know, he told us that anybody with financial means was evil and they had to be punished. And we heard that over and over and over again. And now you have a guy who says, no, listen, not everybody is going to get rich, but I'd like to give you the opportunity. And you have an educational system that over the years has been infiltrated in many cases by people who have a hard left agenda and have drilled it into their heads. And I think we're seeing that. I think they're unwilling to acknowledge that hard work may yield some great results. And there are a lot of folks, unfortunately, who were looking at lazy avenues going, yeah, well, just give me that universal income the Yang Gang was talking about. I'll take your $1,000 a month and then I can work on my, my big paper mache projects.
Yeah. And we have been denied the truth about what has happened with a lot of the economies in Europe, which are always pointed to as the perfection of this. You know, suddenly there wasn't daily news coverage of what was going on in Greece. There wasn't daily news coverage of the pensioners who had been promised money every month, and suddenly they're told, hey, we've run out of money.
Yeah.
Can't do it for you. And there are riots in the streets, but Americans were blissfully unaware.
Right.
And I was over there when that was going on thinking, do you guys not see what's happening here? And there's a movement in the United States to offer those same guarantees.
Yeah,
I mean that's problematic. You know, it also reminds me a little bit of not to be simplistic, but since we're talking socialism, I guess simplistic
yes.
ideas are appropriate. It's like someone who goes to the gym and sees the person who's super fit and is looking for ways around putting in the hours and eating correctly. And they get really ticked that they haven't been able to achieve that body over there. I got the same body. I should be able to do it, but they're not willing to do the work.
That's right.
And there really isn't a way around it. You can buy all the contraptions at 2:00 in the morning on TV. That's not going to do it for you unless you put in the effort yourself.
That's right.
And after you spend a couple of $1,000 and you still look like a slob, you realize there is no shortcut.
Absolutely.
To success.
And I know we're up against it, but a good example as well, when we talk about socialism that can become very, very clear for students, redistribution of grades. Look, you got an A. The kid over there got a D. We're just going to take 10 of your points. It's the only right thing to do. Yeah. You don't need them all. You'll still have a B. That's a
good
grade.
It was unfortunate. His parents didn't take care of him the way he is. So it's not fair that
not
he's
fair.
Got a D.
That's right.
Look, we're going to take a quick break, and hopefully we'll get Howard. From wherever he's vacationing, maybe he had a few pints, and that's why we weren't able to reach him this morning.
Yes.
That's next on News Radio WRVA.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. This is our special politics and pints discussion. What we're lacking, of course, are pints on this side of the world. Now, we've been able to track down our friend Howard Gutman, and Howard had been President Obama's ambassador to Belgium for 4 years, but he is in hopes of getting a new ambassadorship, auditioning new countries, and French Polynesia has gone up on the list and has
good
spent
choice.
Time in Moray and Bora Bora. Howard put down his drink and a coconut. Howard, we're happy that you're here.
I'm trying to figure out whether the reason you guys didn't hook me in is you're so busy drinking, celebrating the Sanders is going to be the nominee we still got for 4 years, or you're just so worried we'll talk about Bill Barr that you want to make sure I wasn't on the line.
I appreciate your honesty.
Delighted.
Yeah.
Because I think if Bernie wins, you guys are in big trouble, Howard.
We are in big trouble now, and it isn't even so much Bernie, because I think the party recognizes we're in big trouble, and they would stop him. The problem is someone decided that a Republican mayor from New York, who has endless money, should be the sole savior. So he's coming in, Mike Bloomberg, and if Mike Bloomberg is in and starts in the thought that he will be Bernie, and he starts taking the centrist votes away from Joe Biden, that will in fact give the election to Bernie, which will in fact give 4 more years to Donald Trump, probably by 47 or 48 states.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, Howard, that's what we're all pulling for. You know, the funny thing, though, you talk about a Republican from New York. Remember, just like your friend John F. Kerry, Michael Bloomberg was a Democrat long before he was a Republican. Then he was an independent again. Now he's back to being a Democrat. But what he always has been is the big nanny stater. You shouldn't eat salt. I don't want you to first sit on the furniture. I know better than you do. He's like everybody's bad mom.
Well, I didn't expect this election to come down to the decision between a socialist and a Republican for the Democrat nominee. It is simply because, well, we should all be alarmed. He has not joined the stage. He has not put in the time. He has not knocked on doors. He just bought endless television. This will be the second time in a row where a rich New Yorker who has nothing to do with our political system says, guess what? I'm rich and I have nothing to do with our political system. Vote for me. And it won in 2016. And it threatens to knock off the real Democrat nominee, which should be Joe Biden, and give the election back to the Republicans for 2020.
But you'd rather Bloomberg win than have a Bernie candidacy. I mean, you could hold your nose and vote for Bloomberg, right?
I would vote for Bloomberg. I would vote for Bloomberg happily. My argument with Bloomberg is that what he's doing is reelecting the president. My problem with Bernie Sanders is even Bernie Sanders never wanted to actually get elected. If you're going to be a socialist gadfly, the one thing people always need to understand is you're just running as a gadfly. You're not supposed to put me in office because I don't mean to do any of that stuff. That won't work.
Yeah. Well, now, remember, you mentioned Bernie Sanders. He's actually the third wealthy New Yorker who's running for president at this moment.
You know, it's just a flood of them. But I heard you guys talk about socialism as well. It isn't so. I lived in what you would call a socialist country, Belgium, for 4 years. Their system works. Their healthcare system works. Their entrepreneurial system works. The problem is you can't take the United States and overnight tell people we're now the United States of Belgium or the United States of Europe. It is catastrophic to do it that way. To do what the Democrats try to do, which is to make things somewhat more fair, the playing field somewhat more level, that works. But Bernie Sanders even knows it doesn't work. Right. He's not intending to get elected. It just might happen.
All right. Howard Gutman, thank you very much for that. We're going to talk more about it. We'll talk about Bill Barr. We'll talk about the latest controversy. And did we mention the demise of the Democrat Party? I just wanted to throw that in there for giggles.
A whole half hour more
exactly.
on that.
It's Jeff Katz, along with my good friend John Reed and Howard Gutman. It is Politics and Pints, News Radio WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA, Politics and Pints, that opportunity where I get to hang out with my friend John Reed, a former intern for President Reagan, communications director for Senator George Allen, enmeshed in politics up to your ears from the time you were, 2 years old, stuffing envelopes for your dad?
I was stuffing envelopes for Richard Nixon.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they've got pictures of me standing at the polls as a toddler with Richard Nixon. And, when you're in a political family, every weekend, that's what you do. You sit in front of the TV and you stuff envelopes, you lick envelopes. I don't know. These days, it's going and knocking on doors and really the grassroots.
Yeah.
Jeff Katz is got a different set of experiences. And one of the ones that I draw on a lot, and we just talk off the air, is about his law enforcement experience, which is especially needed right now when Howard Gutman makes a big deal out of the Attorney General.
Oh, yes.
And the conflict that the Attorney General maybe is having with President Trump. Howard, we'll let the two of you work this out because you were at the FBI and DOJ and Jeff's all of his pals are law enforcement federally and locally. But what do you think is going on here?
You know, guys, I can laugh off that we're about to have four more years of a Republican president because we're running a socialist against a Republican for my great Democrat Party. But I can't laugh off what's happening with our Justice Department. So the country was designed. The key for all my great Republican friends is the original intent and the founders. And it was designed with checks and balances, which is an independent judiciary, an independent executive branch, and an independent legislature. And when one person says, I am now all three, and anyone who disagrees, I will fire them, and he tweets it. And guys, you guys are laughing, but Bill Barr is not laughing. So there were reports that Bill Barr himself was thinking of stepping down, and that would be it means that he was pushed to the limit. You cannot take Jeff Stone, someone who was indicted by a grand jury, convicted by a jury, and is about to be sentenced by a judge, and have the president say, I want our entire law enforcement system to undo that. Now, he can pardon him. He can pardon him. So ultimately, an independent judiciary, he can go order everybody to go break the law, and I'll pardon you. So I can't wait for when we get to the point now where a president, let's say the president says, you know what, that Brett Kavanaugh, he's just a pain in the neck to my party. He's a threat to our country, that Brett Kavanaugh. Tells the attorney general, throw Brett Kavanaugh in jail for the next 6 months so he misses the Supreme Court term.
Okay.
And then he pardons everyone involved. And what are you guys going to laugh then?
No.
When the rule of law is gone.
But Howard, you know that's not really true. What's going on here, and I am going to side with the Attorney General, William Barr, when he said, God, I wish the president would stop tweeting about DOJ matters, that it's making his job very difficult. I have no doubt that it is. And the president himself acknowledged, you know what? Bill Barr is a paragon of virtue, and I know I'm a pain in the tuchus, I'm paraphrasing, but he acknowledges that. Now, we can talk about, as an example, this petition that was circulated by old Obama DOJ folks and maybe George W. Bush DOJ folks. Anybody who wanted to sign it, it was online. If I had been willing to pretend that I served in the DOJ, I could have gone onto the website. There was nothing that confirmed anything and said that I was upset about this. And we all know at the end of the day, The sentencing guidelines in that federal court now are guidelines. They're recommendations. They are not binding on the judge. They haven't been in some period of time. And I get it. The four folks who were enmeshed in the Mueller probe and the rest of it, who were handling the Stone prosecution, sure, they're upset. Every good prosecutor wants a conviction, and every good prosecutor wants a sizable term imposed on that defendant. But I don't see this as the unraveling of our great system of jurisprudence. I just don't see it,
but Howard. The president has every right to comment on this stuff. And I think he's winning some fans from some people who do look at the last, let's just take the last decade, and say there are two tiers of justice here. This guy's getting railroaded. He's getting hammered. And Donald Trump's pointing this out to people. I mean, I think that's a problem. Now, can I tell you, Howard, I do think the president's got a management issue. Clearly, he has run his own shop since he was in his 20s, and he's the big dog. And it seems to me like if you look at everybody who's left the administration, it's always a situation where he's got to make sure you know, I gave you this job, you have this job because of me, and I'm the big dog, and I'm going to slap you around a little bit. I don't exactly admire that about him. The results have been great, I think, but
I love you guys. You are the committee of euphemisms. He has a management problem, and I don't exactly admire it. Guys, he tweeted, there is no attorney general who matters. I'm the chief law enforcement officer. Now, let's put some money where your mouth is. Maybe 10 Emily's bracelets of our dear friend Emily here. Do you have any doubt that before his first term is over, he will have pardoned Roger Stone and he will have pardoned Manafort, which means if you're found to have lied to a judge or found to have violated the law in the service of this president, you do not have the criminal justice system against you. The attorney general in chief, namely Donald Trump.
And if you lied to benefit,
will control.
If you
all
lied
the
to benefit the
system.
Obama administration, you don't even have to deal with it because they're not going to indict you or put you through the ringer in the first place. That's the problem.
John, if you lied to benefit the Obama administration, you wound up as the Democrats' nominee for president.
Right?
Right? I mean, that was that.
We go from the two euphemists in chief to then say, uh-oh, Howard's right there. That's exactly what he's doing. Let's distract with Obama. Guys, this is serious.
I'm not distracting, Howard, but here's what I'm going to tell you. You're talking about Roger Stone and Paul Manafort. I will tell you, they are both, in my opinion, unattractive candidates. They're people that are not necessarily worthy of a lot of sympathy. It's not empathy that people are feeling for them. Paul Manafort, say what you will, I think has had some issues for a long, long time. And the things that he's convicted on really has nothing to do with Donald Trump. I think the folks who got caught up in this, the one in particular that just strikes me, Carter Page and General Mike Flynn. These guys are, in my opinion, deserving of pardons. And you asked, do I have any doubt whether President Trump will pardon Roger Stone before the end of his first term? I do wonder about that because I wonder how long the process takes. But shortly after his swearing in for his second term, yes, I can see him pardoning Roger Stone.
Yeah.
Jeff, the pardon process is not supposed to be that one man kind of disagrees with our criminal justice system. Oh, come on, he wasn't lying that much. Oh, come on. There's an independent grand jury. There are thousands of independent federal prosecutors who are not hired for whether they're Republican or Democrat. They're not asked on their application. There are independent U.S. attorneys who, like me, take their oath to the bar more serious than their politics. There are independent judges who've been on from Democrats and Republicans, and they take their oath. And the system, like you can't lie, works from them. And one man can't say it was in my service. He can't do that, and our system crumbles.
I concur with you that that's not the way it should be. But look, the last 10 years, we have gotten constant examples of how people skate under the radar, and because their buddies who happen to share the same political affiliation that they do, they don't suffer the same consequences. The message has gone out. You're taking your livelihood and your career and your freedom into your own hands if you affiliate with Donald Trump. We're going to come after you. We're going to make an example of you. We'll bankrupt you. We will put your family through the ringer. And I think that's got to stop. All right, we've got to stop for a moment. We got to stop for a moment. We'll come back in just a second, Howard. Yeah, sorry about that. We'll come back in just a second. News Radio WRVA. Back with Politics and Pints in anticipation of Politics and Pints Part 5 when Howard Gutman, President Obama's ambassador to Belgium, will be with Jeff Katz and me live at Atlas 42 here in Richmond. Unfortunately, this one's sold out, but yeah. The next one, as soon as we announce it, grab tickets if you want to be with us.
And we're sure Howard actually is coming back. Howard, you actually are coming back, right?
Well, I may come back, but if Bernie Sanders is continuing to leave, I may begin to get to turn around and find somewhere else to go.
Yeah. The good thing is this will be right after Super Tuesday. Oh, so at that point, we'll have a real gauge on, you know, where the Democrat race is.
Yeah. Yeah.
We might need a fourth member to our team, which will have the two Republicans, the Democrat, and the Socialist.
We'll put a big guillotine on the stage and see. Did you see that story about one of the candidates out there who's actually got a logo that includes a guillotine, but then says, "Oh, I'm not actually talking about executing the rich or people who get across." I'm like, uh-huh.
Right, sure, yeah. Sure.
Republicans go down for putting a rifle scope on their ad when they say we're on target. That's supposedly inciting mass violence, but putting a guillotine on your logo now, is a problem.
So is Bernie Sanders tying Marie Antoinette into things? How is this going to work? Howard, this is your party. I mean, I hate to blame it all on you because, in all candor, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia. I was a Democrat for most of, certainly all of my childhood and well into my adulthood. But I'm going to say this to you as somebody who likes you and admires a lot of what you've done and disagrees with you a tremendous amount, Howard. What has honestly happened to the Democrat Party that I used to know, that President Reagan used to know, that Howard Gutman used to know?
So what's happened now with Bernie Sanders is not about the Democrats any less than about the Republicans. What happened, guys, we saw it in 2016, we saw it in 2020. If you run as a populist, if you say everything's broken, I'm an outsider, and I'm going to fix it, you start what we used to think is a straight line, and if you moved out from the center and you went to the left, you got more Democrat, and you went to the right, you got more Republican. It's a circle. We start at the top of the circle, and as you move to the left, towards the Democrats and the right, Republicans, you meet down in the bottom of the circle with the populace. So Bernie Sanders' message is not that much different than Donald Trump's message, which is to heck with the system, to heck with the traditional parties. And that's what the wave is. And if you're a Joe Biden or a Hillary Clinton or a Marco Rubio or a Ted Cruz, people say, I don't want someone who spent decades working in government for our country. I want someone who steps up and says, I'm going to fix it all from the outside, make America great again.
They're picking the wrong person with Bernie, who spent decades in Washington accomplishing nothing, just living off of the taxpayer. It's remarkable that this would be the choice they'd make. I would take Donald Trump saying, I'll give you a shot at having a good living and maybe being rich, than somebody who promises to sack the rich and then we all kind of wallow in poverty, which is what has happened over and over and over again in a lot of very diverse nations.
Perhaps the translation of off with their heads from French to English just didn't make it to Vermont.
Right. All right, we got to go, Howard. Enjoy the rest of your holiday, and we'll look forward to seeing you in person soon. Thank you.
And Thanks so much, guys. Love it as always.
That's going to do it for us with Politics and Pints. And Jeff will be in this afternoon from 3 to 6. Have a great Wednesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.